This is Financial Standard, the definitive source of news, thought leadership and analysis for Australian wealth management professionals. Financial Standard, take the lead.
Hello and welcome to the Financial Standard podcast. I'm Jamie Williamson, Managing Editor of Financial Standard and your host for today. You might recall a couple of weeks ago, I sat down with Andrew Hansen of recruitment firm Robert Walters to discuss the outlook for 2024 in terms of the job market and what employers are looking for. Well, Andrew is back with me again today, and this time we're digging a little deeper and we're going to talk about one of the things we're still sometimes told not to talk about, and that is money. Today, we are talking salaries and benefits, what employers are offering versus what employees want. Andrew, thanks again for joining me on the pod.
Jamie, thanks for having me.
In late 2023, Robert Walters published its outlook for salaries in 2024. Can you run us through some of those numbers and how they might have changed in recent years and what's driving those changes?
Sure. So I guess it's been a bit of a period of stabilization more recently after some significant growth in salaries and packages for people over the post-COVID years. I don't think we all saw it coming with COVID hitting and then us going into lockdown and coming out. 2022 actually was an extremely strong year for the market, and it was an extremely strong year from a talent perspective as well. So over 2021 and 2022, we witnessed some pretty significant increases in salaries. We witnessed quite a lot of job movement. There were lots of different drivers for that. I think there was going in and coming out of COVID, were businesses bringing staff back into the office? Were they not? Were people from home and then being asked to come in? And that's obviously still a theme that's being discussed ad verbatim at the moment. But I'd say to try and summarise, I think that salaries have stabilised somewhat after the big increases in 2022 and perhaps early 2023. Across funds management, whether it be on the front office or middle or back office side of things, the demand for talent we've witnessed more at the junior to mid level. And I think that where we've seen outside of some really specific skill sets that perhaps we can come on to talk about, there's been a little bit of upward pressure in that junior to mid level. But on the whole, it's been more a period of stabilization with an expectation that that's sort of where we're at for the next, say, 6 months or so, as opposed to that growth we saw leading into 2023.
We've mentioned it in the previous episode that you were on with me, but in its own report, Robert Walters said there is high demand for staff in financial services and also that it can be quite a tough industry to recruit for. Does that mean that you see a lot of competition for candidates and even still, for instance, I mean, how frequently are counteroffers being tabled? And more importantly, how frequently are the counteroffers that are being tabled actually worthwhile?
Financial services is notoriously challenging to recruit for. And I think there's some very specialist skill sets that we need to recruit in a market that's not huge, really, when you think about it on a global scale. It's a small market. It's a tight market for very specialist skill sets and for quality. And so no matter whether it's a really, really strong market or it's a bit softer, it's still one of the areas that we always have our challenges in getting it right for our client base around the specialist skill sets. I mean, if we take, for example, say in distribution, demand for senior BDMs with existing networks is still strong. It always will be. And that's going to create a circumstance where, you know, the upward pressure on packages and salaries is always the case. So in areas like that, you'll always see counteroffers. You'll always see strong competition. As to whether the counteroffers are worthwhile, that's a huge subject that we talk a lot about in here. And I'll try and come back and touch on that in a minute. But it really, I suppose, if you just take that distribution area and somebody that's got a really strong network that's been in the market for a while, that's a good example of the type of role where absolutely counteroffers are going to come, and there's a distinct competition for those candidates. Outside of those pockets where, you know, there's significant demand, I'd say you could summarize by saying there's ever so slightly, and of course, each year we go through this process of putting together a salary guide and coming to market, and that process starts in the fourth quarter of a year. And even now we're three, four, 5 months down the track, and it's a dynamic market. So there's ever so slightly less competition for candidates, I'd say, as we sort of started to put this guide together and as we move into 2024. Candidates are being more selective. They're taking more convincing given the market and where the economy's at. Mm. So that in general, candidates seem to be a little bit more risk averse. So for us as a talent provider, it's really important for us to be very clear from the outset and understand what drivers are, to understand our client base, to be able to sell or position them in a way so that our candidates really understand what the offering looks like, not just the job, but the whole company, the culture, the direction, the opportunity for them to develop themselves within an organization. It's still a challenging market, but it's only really pockets where we're probably seeing those counter offers being tabled consistently. Having said that, it depends on the ownership and the size of a firm. In some of the bigger firms where perhaps there's an across-the-board rule where there's no backfilling of roles, then if they get a resignation from someone, then they will fight exceptionally hard to counter-offer and retain that talent rather than lose it because they may not be able to replace that person, perhaps if it's a global business or if it's some fairly strict rules have been put in place around it, it may be a listed business. So there are nuances that are going to influence the whole concept of whether counter offers are going to be tabled and how aggressively someone's going to perhaps increase salary to retain someone, because if it's an extra $20,000 and they retain, as opposed to not having that head at all, their life's going to be a hell of a lot easier if they've got that talent within the team than walking down the road to a competitor.
And obviously it's not just about salary either, like benefits play a huge part in packaging. What are some of the benefits that you're seeing employers dishing out at the moment? We're obviously all across, you know, remote or flexible working. A lot of employers obviously include bonuses as part of a package, but what are kind of the emerging trends that you're seeing on this front?
Look, we were having a meeting about this the other day when we were talking about the trends in our client base and what are companies doing differently to try and attract staff. And the conversation seemed to come back to one point that there doesn't seem to be any emerging trends that are hugely different from what we've seen in the past in benefits package. We have come back to a point where salary is firmly at the top of the list in the drivers for candidate to move roles. Now, in the past few years, it's been at number two or number three, and we've seen flexibility, we've seen personal development, we've seen culture, we've seen those things that have sort of at times been above money, but money is number one on the list in our last survey of candidates as to the driver. So that gives you an idea of what's most important. Leave and additional leave seems to be the one thing that, from a benefits package perspective, seems to be taken the best from candidates. We'll come on to flexibility and in and out of office in a minute, but the leave, the ability to get additional leave, a lot of firms are looking at the concept of using up your 20 days, say, for example, to get access to five. So they take that risk off the book of accruing too much leave. That's definitely something that we've seen more of. I know it's been around for a long time, but it seems to be a bit of a theme when we're talking about what some of our clients are doing. But outside of that, and then coming on to flexibility, right? So it's still the most pivotal point for candidates if they're in a role where they're doing a lot of work from home still, and they now really value that when they're considering a new employer, and ensuring that employers are really clear to people that they are looking to welcome into the firm or to attract from a competitor, and I guess back up with action what they say they're doing. So if they talk about being a flexible workplace and they're embracing that, what does that actually look like when somebody turns up and they say, well, that's fine, you can have a day from home a week if you need it, as opposed to everybody looks to get into the office at least half the time. So some weeks that's 2 weeks, some weeks that's 3 weeks. Definitely seeing more of a shift back to employers wanting to bring people back into the office to come together, to work together, in particular in financial services, to be honest. There is a bit of a mix between still, albeit maybe there's a few less startups around, but startups and tech and so on versus a more traditional financial services working environment. But that's still one of the conversations that probably takes the longest with a candidate through a recruitment process. Once we've talked about the salary package and the other benefits, to talk about what life looks like within the firm and what's the flow of in office, out of office, and the flexibility. What does it actually look and feel like? And I think firms are still going through that process in many cases of working themselves out to what are they committing to their workforce and why, so that they can really, I guess, get that across to candidates in a really clear manner, so that what they're saying is what it's like when you turn up on day one and what it's like to exist within the organization. And with us not commenting on it's bad for people into the office 5 days a week or it's bad for them to be at home 5 days a week, clearly it looks like we're moving to an environment where hybrid is the future, would be the best summation of the middle point of where the market's at. But I'd say in financial services, perhaps leaning more towards the 4 day a week and possibly even in some cases 5 day a week scenarios. So even your question asks about broader subjects of benefits, and I find myself back talking about the same subject because it's in every single meeting that we're talking to our clients about in terms of their recruitment plans and the importance of a clear strategy around that particular subject.
It kind of obviously flows into the next question, which is how does that compare to what candidates actually want? I mean, are you seeing that you're putting to a candidate, to a potential employer, and you know what their expectations are vastly different to what the employer is looking for?
Look, I think on the salary front, most certainly we are finding situations where people witnessed and experienced that uplift in salary, that strong uplift in 21, 22, going into 23. And now they're perhaps looking, if they've moved once in that period and they're looking to move again and they have that expectation, right, I'm going to move again, I'm going to look at a 5%, 10%, 15% increase in my salary, then perhaps we're certainly finding situations where people might be left a little disappointed in terms of what they might realize in their salary. Again, it depends on the area that they're in. If they're a strong BDM, they may be able to negotiate yet again another proper increase. If they're working in risk and compliance, for example, and they witness those increases, then that might be a different set of circumstances. I'd say it's more likely to be a different set of circumstances. So I think that generally plateauing in salaries this year, and I'd say that whilst salary is still most important for candidates, then I guess where they're finding that perhaps they can't see that increase, then of course they're asking that question about, okay, well, what are the other drivers for me to move, and what's it going to be like? What's life going to be at a new firm, and what's different from where I am now?
So I guess my final question then is really just, what's your advice for somebody who's been listening to us chat and maybe they're sitting there now thinking, gee, I might be getting ripped off here. Should they stay or should they go? What would your advice be?
Firstly, I think if someone thinks they're getting ripped off, the first thing to do is to do the research, get the data, and understand if their feelings are supported by the actual circumstance in the market. So, and I think one thing, you know, you could go to a salary survey, Robert Walters salary survey, and have a look, but I'd encourage people to have a proper conversation with a recruiter to understand the detail around what role are they doing, how long have they been in the role, what's their current package, when were they last reviewed in their salary, have their roles and responsibilities changed in that period of time, have they had appraisals, you know, how are they valued by the firm. And by going through that process, we can help them work out whether really they are being ripped off or whether perhaps they've got a better deal than they think they did previously. And I think far too often people use friends or colleagues as a benchmark and hear a story, someone moved for an additional 50 grand. And sometimes those stories are true, sometimes they're not. Sometimes people have got different backgrounds, education. They may have a CFA, they may have a designation, which, you know, supports them to earn more. So I think understand the detail and the facts behind the feeling. And I think it's a healthy thing to do, you know, every 12 months for people that are sitting in roles. You know, review where you're up to. Is the role going well for you? Are you enjoying the firm? Are you developing like you hoped to when you first went in? And if some of the answers to those things are no, then it's a very healthy thing to just understand what the market looks like, understand what salaries look like. But there's no way of really knowing unless you actually go through that process of getting the facts and understanding from someone that's at the coalface, like a recruiter here at Robert Walters, what's actually going on right now and what do salaries really look like on the market right now.
Some great advice there, Andrew. Thank you so much. And again, thank you for coming back for round two with the Financial Standard Podcast.
Thanks, Jamie. It's been a pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.
And thank you for tuning into this episode of the Financial Standard Podcast. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks for listening to this Financial Standard Podcast. For more information, visit financialstandard.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any content without further independent financial research and advice.